study base. Al Torah Betzikasi Hasharti. Person should not come along and say that that money which I've received, I deserve due to my tzikis. The person should be concerned lest he's going to accept part of his reward in this world. So this is a different flavor of an ois than many of the oisias. It's like almost a hashkafikdika discussion over here. So let's touch on a few points. So this idea that a person's worried about being mekabel schar b'olam hazeh, obviously doesn't make sense to get your schar b'olam hazeh. It's a bad trade-off. B'chlal, how do you get schar b'olam hazeh? It's also a fascinating idea. So the Tells the Rav has a shmuz where he says the batsim, it's not shaykh, because I'll say schar mitzvah b'chayam alecha. So there's no schar mitzvah b'chayam. So what does it mean that the person gets schar b'olam hazeh? Right. So he says it's up to the person. If the person decides that this is the valuable payment to him, he gets it in this world. If the person decides that's the valuable payment, she gets it in that world. So a person is conveyor that I understand that Olam Haba is so much more valuable than Olam Hazeh, so you don't get schar b'Olam Hazeh. That's what he says. I'm not getting involved in the Shaka Mataria. The Kur is a little bit funny. Because the Mora says that Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Eliezer, walked into Rabbi Eliezer was not well, and Rabbi Kiva was, the Tamidim were crying, and Rabbi Kiva was happy. He said, why? Because Kolton, I saw the Rebbe, that his wine wasn't being machmet, and his shemen wasn't going bad. I was worried maybe he's getting the schar b'olam hazeh. And now that I see that he has his sort of room, I'm happy, Baruch Hashem, it's not going to happen. Rabbi Eliezer wasn't saying, it was a shkishmak. Mine is where it's at. You know, Rabbi Eliezer understood all of Haba is what's valuable. So if I suggest them over there, even the Eliezers of the world, who were not Rishoyim, and not saying that they prefer Olam Hazeh over Olam Haba, could get Skar and Olam Hazeh. So Rishos Salanter says, so how do you make sure that you don't get Skar Olam Hazeh? He says, he once traveled to Paris. He went to Paris multiple times. He was staying in a hotel. No, Mekabel Schar B'Olam Hazeh. Getting Schar B'Olam Hazeh means a person is pushed getting paid out in this world. More than paid. Getting paid, getting the Schar B'Olam Hazeh. So he traveled to Paris, and he stayed in this hotel, very, very, very expensive hotel. I don't know. I remember I had this the sticker shock when I was dating. So Baruch Hashem, my wife was a cheaper set of dating than some of the other ones, but there was a hotel in the lobby of the World Trade Center where guys used to go for dates. So I went there for a date once with somebody, and we ordered, they had these little 7-ounce bottles of 7-Up, 7-ounce bottles. I wasn't ready for the cost. It was $10 a piece for 7 ounces of soda. It was $10 a piece. Plus, you're supposed to give away a tip. So Sandra was staying in this hotel, and it was very, extremely expensive. He says, "Mamish, you can, you know, it's extremely expensive." But there's somebody staying in this hotel. It's not worried about the costs, because he's staying as he's an employee, and the boss gives him an expense account, so the boss is paying for the cost. So you go to this very expensive hotel. If you're coming there as an employee, right, on the boss's expense account, have, it's not a problem. He says, if you live in this world for yourself, so it's a very, he says, this world's a very expensive hotel. As he said, it was one kugel, you can eat up all of your halam haba. The Russian gave you this beautiful hotel, and it's the nicest hotel in the world. So you don't just pay for the food, you pay for the whole ambiance. Right? There's no better ambiance than the Ganze Welt. Russian created the Ganze Welt, and you're being handed from the Ganze Welt. Versus, I'm giving you Gemal and Gazachin, you know, it's a cost of kill. You're going to pay for it. But if you hear on the Russian's expense account, it doesn't cost you anything. That's what you're so thought to say. Okay. This thought process is not standard schmooze talk nowadays. Some yeshivas still is, you know, a lot of places it's not. We don't like the year part of this process. We like the Ava part of the process. The person is wonderful, he's loving, and he cares for you so much, he's going to take care of you, and he says, I don't know, I'm going to you, and Pasha, I love Ava. Like, you did an Aveira, and you're going to burn a Gehenna, it's not the conversation. You know, in one mitzvah, you eat a Pirlam Haba, and now you're going to get a nifter, and have nowhere to go. It's just not the conversation. We don't talk about those type of things. You know, chorus, you know, we don't like hearing about those things. My guess is there's Mistama, nobody in this yeshiva has ever learned Masechtas Gehenna. Mistama not. Reishis Chochma has a section called Masechtas Gehenna. You can read it if you want. Right? It's available. Is that a valid approach? Is that a valid approach just to focus on the house? So I think that's what this piece of Orchis Kavarash opens up for us, is that the purpose of Yira is to make us understand the significance of what we're talking about. The Apollo mission to the moon. Right? No man had ever went to the moon before. Right? If you're a little bit off, they missed the moon, and they keep going. Right? A little off the other way, they crash into the moon. You're the mathematician which is making the calculations with this computer. Which I have a friend that works in the physics Department of Defense, etc. So I want to point out to you, this is the average simple smartphone nowadays has more computing power than the computer would set the man to the moon. So you're dealing with this antiquated computer and making those calculations. You understand the seriousness of what you're doing to the point that you take it very seriously. Because you're aware of consequences. They don't tell you what the project is for, because it's very secret. You can't tell you what the project is for. Why are you making these calculations? Why? It's very important. It's a little bit hard to take it seriously because you understand the consequences. They say, you know, it's a fascinating, you know what? It's just a fascinating project, and no major consequences. You're taking it less seriously. It says, but we're going to give you a big reward if you do it right, because it shows how much we care about you, etc. Also not. Understanding that there are consequences helps understand the significance of the project. So the point of Yira, the point of Yira is to understand that coming to this world for the neshama is way worse than going to the moon. It's way worse than going to the moon. It's this major travel that it had to do for a purpose. supposed to sit there and be fall apart. I'm in trouble. But I understand I'm a mission. And I have a very important mission, and I have to take it very seriously, and I have to understand there are consequences. And I got to come back with a good report of the mission. Does that preclude the feeling of excitement and euphoria of the accomplishment? No. Does it preclude the feeling of the belief in me that they put, that they gave me this responsibility, and the fact that they trust me and they're machshir me and I feel good about myself and I feel that they care about me? No, not a steer. We live in this world where like Yira and Ava seem to be, we're not good at that. Seeing that Yira and Ava are two sides of the same coin. The mashal which I give is a chas under the chuppah. Chas under the chuppah is probably the most exciting day of his life. It's also probably the most awesome day of his life. He's in awe. He's scared. He's overwhelmed. But he's entering into this tremendous responsibility. The more he understands how tremendous responsibility is, the more he feels excited about the fact he has his opportunity to do it. He says, there's no responsibility. Nothing's going to happen. It's very easy. So what to be excited about? Nothing to be excited about. There's nothing really big happening. The more you understand that something big is happening, the more you understand that something to be excited about. So the awe is what gives you the simcha. Without the awe, there's no simcha. So we look at awe as a steer to simcha. That's a mistake. If I understand what I'm doing, being in this world, it's a tremendously awesome responsibility. It's significant. It's tremendous consequences. That's what allows me to have simcha, that I've been entrusted such a mission. And I feel good about what I'm accomplishing. And I know it's valuable. I know it's significant. If there's no consequences, so whatever I do is worthless. So who cares? So how can I feel good about myself? That's, I think, maybe a vehicle to how to absorb what the point of the Rosh is saying, that we need to understand that what we're doing is a tremendously valuable job, tremendously difficult job, a responsible job, and there's responsibilities. That also means there's consequences. It also means human entrustment with something very of tremendous significance. So that's a statement of belief in you. It's a statement of cheshivas to you. It's a statement of that the Rosh is has tremendous trust in you. It also means that you can't, there are consequences when you drop the ball.